Well, hello everyone.
Hello.
From far and farther, near and nearer. Good to have you with us today. This morning, we are talking about something that we are all here to experience right now. As we have talked about what's really important to the kingdom of God as it exists on the face of the planet, we have talked about the fact that if we are going to function the way God wants us to function, that we have to, first of all, live, hold, eat, sleep, breathe the mission and values that Jesus had and that God has for us as His people. We also talked about the process over the last couple of weeks of how, or actually the product in the last couple of weeks of what is it that we are supposed to produce as God's people? What is it that we're supposed to do? And we have sort of couched all of this in sort of the language of the workplace culture. Today, what we're going to talk about is the least analogical part of this. Because we cannot talk about the church really as an organization because that's exactly what I want us not to do. But it is the slot that it fits in as we talk about this enterprise that we're a part of in the God Inc. analogy. So we've talked about a clear mission and values, a specific desired goal or product. Today we talk about the church that embodies the mission and values that Jesus had. So I want to talk with you a little bit this morning about the metaphors. This is why I really can't call this discussion an organization that embodies, because it's not an organization. Organized, yeah, maybe a little bit, but we are not an organization. If we are, then we're missing it. What we are is a group of people called together by the Spirit of God to be the kingdom of God on the face of the planet. That's who we are, that's what we are. But there are some metaphors that the Bible uses to describe who we are to be. And we need to understand and embrace those metaphors because it's the only way we have to describe who we're supposed to be. So, number one, we're a body. We can see in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, Paul was writing to the Romans and he said, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of one body, His one body. And each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other and each of us needs all the others. Now he says a lot of things, because he doesn't stop there. He goes on, says a lot of things about how we do this, how this works. But what it does establish is that we are to function as parts of one another, a whole. And do you remember who the Scripture says is the head of that whole? Yeah, yeah, Jesus is the head. I might be the fingernail, okay, or the little pinky toenail, okay. You might be the thumb, that all-important opposable thumb, okay. And that's great. But if somebody yanks on me on that little pinky toenail, it hurts and it's all one body. And if the bicep gets built up and wins a contest, well, so does the nose hairs. We're one body. We all have our functions. We all have our purpose. So this is an important metaphor, okay? Tell me some analogies or things that have been true for you as you have seen the people of God as a body. Any examples you would like to offer? How has the church been body for you? We also have examples of when we hurt, that we all hurt, which is also a part of this thing, okay? Is that when somebody suffers, we may not physically or actually go, but we do
feel it.
And if we choose to step in there, we may actually go through it along with them. The part of the body, let's see how to say this. This is the best analogy when it comes to the importance of connection and presence that we have, I believe. We can use other analogies to talk about the body, but the fact of the matter is, how about this? You football, NFL football fanatics, how about this? There's a guy that plays for the New York Giants, decided he was going to go play with fireworks on July 4th. Boom. He lost one of his fingers. I think he lost a thumb. Okay? That thumb's not coming back. That thumb is gone. It has taken him till like last week to be able to rehab, to even be able to do anything. And he is still having to learn how to play his profession, which happens to be a sport, without a thumb. And it isn't the same. Okay. Which is an analogy for why we need to be around here for one another. And that it makes a big difference when the thumb chooses not to be around. All these things we're talking about, we have to remember, if you look in Ephesians 4, what it said the purpose of this body is. Ephesians 4, it's to grow up in all aspects to be like the head, Jesus. It acknowledges that we have to do that together. There are no independent operators. There are no islands unto themselves. It's important that we are together. So, important first metaphor with many, many ramifications that we could talk about for the next probably 10 years, maybe more. It takes us a lifetime to get it right, doesn't it? Second metaphor, family. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, writer says, but Christ, the faithful Son, was in charge of the entire household. And we are God's household. If we keep up our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. A family. Now we've talked about body. And I think that we've talked about family as we've talked about body. Okay? Just flip the metaphor. Whenever you talk about somebody being there when you have a need, somebody providing a meal, somebody driving somebody who doesn't have a ride, that's the stuff that in our culture we do whenever we have a family. And when we have celebrations, we all get to celebrate together. When we have causes to mourn, we all grieve and mourn together. We stop what we do. Which is probably something in some other cultures they do a little bit better than we do. We keep our nose headed towards the goal, and sometimes we forget that somebody very near to us has had a major stop sign in life. Time to pause, time to heal, time to recover, and we just kind of keep plodding on, nose down. But we, as a family of God, What is, if you think about it in the most basic aspect, what's a family supposed to do? Okay. Take care of each other. Be together. Share life. We're forgetting the one that's probably really obvious. Yeah. John got it. We're supposed to multiply. Okay? Bottom line, okay? Got to make that part of the thing, okay? That's what it says. So we need to make sure we don't forget that, because The problem when we forget that we're supposed to be multiplying is that we become very us focused, and we forget that we're supposed to be multiplying. Take a step back to body. Who can create a body? And even then, I know that, you know, Kennedy could probably give us all the details. I'm not asking for details. But if you think about this, a human being is pretty well near a miraculous thing. Okay? To think that goes with that and somehow kismet and stuff happens, and then that life grows. Holy cow. What a miraculous thing. Only God can make a person. You know? All that wiring, all that development, we can't create that. We like to think we can engineer a human life, but not that much. The fact that it can happen. Miraculous. All right. So a family. A body, a family. A living temple. You look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, and now God is building you, our names there, as living stones into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priest who offer the spiritual sacrifices that please Him because of Jesus Christ. So the next time somebody calls you a rock, it may not be a bad thing if it's a living stone. A living temple. So what does that metaphor say to us? Everything we do is about glorifying God if we're a temple. What else? Something else that this idea of us being living stones, a part of a temple. Remove the stones, the walls are weak. This building's dead. It is not alive. Okay? If we are living stones, we are the temple. It is not this building. Or anybody's building, for that matter. One of the things that seems to have changed from the idea of God coming to reside in a space among men is that in the New Testament, Jesus says when the Spirit came, then no longer was He going to confine Himself to a place. He was going to dwell among people, within people. And going back to what Stephen said, priests do what? What's a priest's role? Somebody who remembers what priests did in ancient Hebrew religious practice. What do? They served as the ones who made the sacrifices on behalf of the people to deal with God's requirements upon people, to try to satisfy those. So, part of this idea of being living stones is that our job is to make sacrifices. To be the ones who bridge the gap between God and other people. That fit? Something that has to do with that analogy, that metaphor. Anything else you see here? We hear a lot about community organizers these days. Well, the church is the original grassroots movement, folks. The whole idea came from the Bible. In fact, it came from how the church started. If you read Acts chapter 2, You know, it's one of those passages we love to talk about all the time, where it says after Peter preached, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. They joined with other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing the Lord's Supper and in prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. This was a movement. It was a wave. It was something that was remarkably uncontrollable. And every time somebody did something to try to control it, it did the opposite. If you look. So, grassroots movement. What do you think about that? Do you see this metaphor actually being lived out? And if not, why not? One of the to bring up another analogy or metaphor is the idea of being infectious. You know, can other people catch what we have? And if they can't catch what we have, what is the barrier to them catching what we have? Now, obviously, and we will confess from the very beginning that it is the Spirit's work that moves and transforms a person. We can't argue anybody into the kingdom of God. But is our life a convincing translation of the good news? All right, I want to move on. Let's talk about the implication. Okay, well, the things that we've talked about. We talked about a body, we talked about a family, talked about a living temple, we've talked about grassroots movement. Now, considering all these, what are some implications? The message behind these metaphors. One, it's clear we are an extension of God's kingdom on the earth. That's who we're supposed to be. And a lot of times, we have dumbed it down and manipulated it to be an organization that has political influence. That's not who we are. Two, the church is supernatural and we should live like it. That's hard. But it's true. Three, the church is not an institution. It is a movement of grace, power, and truth. We can't vote anybody into the kingdom of God. We can't even tell somebody the right words to pray to get them into the kingdom, because then that would be kind of like a magical incantation, and that is not how it works. We exist to do what Jesus did. And if we don't do what Jesus did, then we are not an extension of God's kingdom on the face of the planet. Next slide. So how we live the message. We try to keep things simple. We don't make rules. We don't have, well, you know, we don't have all that stuff. We let God work organically. That's what we're supposed to do. See where God is working and join Him. Keep our eyes open, listen to His voice. We share our lives with one another, so we have the opportunity to do that, so that we are ready. We expect God to grow His kingdom through us. Sometimes that expectation we give a lot of lip service to, but we don't give much hands and feet to. You with me? This is the organization. As close as it's going to get to an organization is who we've been called to be. But it is entirely capable, and the resources are absolutely available to do everything that God wants us to do. Anything. And I'm running out of time. I have stuff that I could say, but I'm not going to say it. No, Daniel. We'll have to leave that for another day. Maybe I'll start next Sunday with that. Since in my review of what we dealt with today, I'll kind of maybe say what I think we need to deal with. But that's enough for today. But think about this in the meantime. When we began, and I wasn't around when we began, some of you were. We began as a two-wing church. Are we flying or flopping? All right, flying or flopping. Let's pray. Lord, we're here because we want to be all that you have called us to be, individually and as your people, your family, your body, your holy temple. Lord, a movement that you created to change the world. Lord, I ask that you would help us to have a desire to be close to you, to be absolutely obedient to you, to be ready for every opportunity. Lord, we want you to shine through. We want to see your life lived through us so that we would be, and that your church would be, and your kingdom would be appealing as it should, so that there will be an irresistible pull because of the grace and the power and the love that others perceive. Lord, let that be real, because Jesus is alive. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.